Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Winning is always the great deodorant. So have you guys been able to camouflage in those eight victories a lot of your deficiencies because the level of play of your opponents isn't what Baltimore is?
Well, I don't think there's any perfect team, you know, in the NFL or that has everything figured out. So, I don't think we claim to be that either. We're a tough, hard-nosed, physical, resilient team. And, you know, I know the character of the guys in the locker room. And, you know, we're going to learn from it and we're going to try to play better as we move forward.
Welcome into Zolak and Bertrand from Gillette Stadium today. That's Tom Brady with Jim Gray. Westwood won last night on the Monday Night Football broadcast. Talking about if his team has had their deficiencies covered up by playing bad teams. Now that they've lost a game to the Baltimore Ravens. So we continue on that conversation that we were having yesterday about Sunday night's game. Hi.
Hi, buddy.
How you doing?
Good.
I'm good. Yep. The Patriots started off 8-0 for the third time in their team history this year. The other two times were 2007. We know how that ended. We don't have to go there again today. Mm-hmm. We do have to go here, though.
Where?
The other time was 2015.
Oh.
Do you remember what happened in 2015?
Sure do.
They started out 10-0 in 2015, in fact.
Yeah, I remember where we ended up.
And then they started losing games a little bit. Losing games to...
I think the Stork was the center, right?
Lost games... At Denver in overtime, they lost games to Philadelphia. That was the mortar kick game. They lost a couple at the end of the year, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. But let's start with a general question about where this Patriots team is at. We're workshopping this one today.
Yeah.
Are you worried? Are you worried about this team? About the team the way that Jim Gray sounded worried, the way he asked that question? Tom, are all the problems and all the warts with this team, or as Al Michaels said, the pimples on the supermodel, are they covered up because of the team's record?
Every pimple, every supermodel has a pimple.
Were we overlooking
how big's the pimple?
The deficiencies on this team because of their record?
No, not because of the record. I don't think you're over. We've talked about the problems on offense from week one. We haven't overlooked anything. Have we ever looked anything in the kicking game?
But have we not taken...
Even when Steve was here and you could tell something was bugging him?
But it's one thing to nitpick. It's another thing to think that maybe those could be real issues that derail the team in the end.
Yeah.
It's one thing to say, hey, their left tackle situation sucks. It's another to say, yeah, this will end like it did in 2015, on the road, in a hostile environment, and... they end up losing because they can't block and the pressure is too much.
I heard this from people over the weekend that, they didn't show them everything because they're going to face them again. they held some things back in that game. That's utterly ridiculous.
What happened this morning when you were pulling in here?
Stadium? Good buddy out there, Martha. Hey, she comes out of the window and says, are you worried? I said, worried what? That I won't wake up tomorrow or what? No, about them. I said... hell no. My answer, hell no. I gave her the two beeps and I drove off.
You gave her the two beeps.
I'm not going to sit there and listen to her tell me how she's worried because I'd be there for half hour.
I was on the phone with Zoe when this happened.
Yeah.
I was on the phone with Zoe when this happened.
Jim goes,
he pulls away.
There's our show.
He pulls away and goes, can you believe that? She's asking if we're worried. I said, yeah. Well, if people are worried, we should find out if people are worried on the air. We should ask the question. And so I pulled up to the guard check a couple minutes later and I said, hey, we're going to use your thing on the air. She goes, what? I said, I heard you ask Zoe, are you worried?
Yeah.
And she goes, well, just for the record, I'm not worried. I'm just wondering if people are worried.
Well, but since it's going to be on the show, Martha.
I'm not worried. Are you worried? Yeah. I'm not worried. A lot of people look at it. I'm not worried. Are you masking that you're worried? Are you really worried? Are you afraid to admit that you're worried? Does Sunday night's result have you a little bit worried? Maybe just a little bit? I'm not worried, though. Are you worried?
I'm not, because of the uniqueness of the team.
I'm not, but I can tell you what will get me worried.
Like, if we're...
Another loss.
I think I worried Beetle this morning when I said 2015.
Another loss will have me worried.
What about back-to-back losses?
I'll start to worry.
Okay.
If they lose against Philadelphia, I'm now starting to get worried.
Then maybe you guys
have... Against Philly on a mortar kick or something?
No. Say Philly.
Now you're being a jerk.
Say Philly, and they have a good tight end, right? Philly's
what if it's the same way?
That's what I'm saying. If Philly says, oh, crap, their linebackers...
Oh, we'll try and do some of the same crap that cover tight Baltimore ends. Did.
Oh, we have Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert.
Yeah, that's a problem. So there's no way New England's going to come in with the same type of front and say, we're going to cover your tight ends the way we cover their tight ends. Because your linebackers couldn't run with their tight ends. Brooks couldn't run with your tight end. It's a big chunk game. It's a big chunk game. So he's got to be ready.
Is he going to play more than 20 snaps?
He should. I think he's going to be healthier. I don't think he's healthy, Jim. I think Chunk's giving him what he can right now. If Philly comes out and exposes some of the same things that you saw and the same problems exist that existed Sunday night, then, yeah, I would say I'd start to be a little bit worried. But right now I'm not worried, because I think you ran into something unique. And it was their time coming off a bye, and they're ready to go. Well, Philly's coming off a bye too, right? So, I mean, you're getting these teams all sort of the same time here.
All I know is
they're building. I think it's going to be a nastier place to play.
You shouldn't be worried after one loss.
What if we won an ugly game by 1 point? Would you be asking me the same question? But since they're undefeated, shouldn't ask it.
Well, it wasn't. But we saw how it went. It wasn't an ugly game where you came out on the right side of it. It wasn't like that.
No, I know that. But
I mean, the loss could have been worse than it was. Really, it could have been.
Can they run the ball if they have to run the ball?
If they have to impose their will on another team,
I
got to
stop asking Zoe questions during the show. He just looks at his phone.
Can they run the ball if they choose to and want to run the ball, and they say, we need to run the ball here, we got to do it? Not like they could last year. Not like they could in the playoffs last year. No, they're incapable. And it feels like all the same problems that existed with that 2015 team that's, again, started out 10-0 exist again. The offensive line has issues. They can't run the ball the way they want to run the ball.
They can run the ball down to people's throats four of the last five games. Texans, Chiefs, Dolphins.
Bills?
Not the Bills. Who's the other team?
So you can do it against bad teams?
The Bengals.
What good is that?
You just asked me, can they run the ball? I'm like, right there, and that's the spot where they went and they turned and they ran it last year. That month of December, middle of December on. And I'm looking at opponents here, because the Cowboys are going to be tough to run on. Cowboys, I'd spread them out like you did the other night. Go up tempo. Let's go gun. Let's control it. Chiefs can't stop the run. Chiefs stink. Cincinnati can't stop it. Miami, you know what they are. Buffalo, that's a tough team to run against. Texans have injury issues now. Eagles, you might be able to run the ball a little bit on them. You might. Eagles have people down all over the place. They've dealt with injuries all year on defense.
Jim is right, though. If there is something to be
worried
about.
If anybody, you could run the ball against most of the people except the Cowboys here at the end.
The worry, though, is...
What about nickel runs? Why can't you run nickel runs on them?
The worry is that it turns into something like 2015. Before that Denver game,
you had no back.
They had two. They were up two wins.
Yeah, but they had no offensive line. Is the reason they couldn't run the ball because they had no back or because they had no line?
Oh, Steven Jackson stunk.
They lost Deion Lewis.
Okay, Brady got killed though that season in 2015. I don't think their offensive line was good.
No,
their offensive line now isn't good. As it stands now, it's not good.
Right.
How many hits did he take in the game the other night?
A lot. 10.
It's not good now against good competition. And they went into that game in week 11 of 2015. They were 10-0. Denver was 8-2. And then when it came to the conference championship game, they were playing that game at Denver. No one saw that coming. Did you think that was going to happen? None of us did at the time. None of us saw that happening. So to go back to a conversation of a couple of weeks ago about what would be the acceptable end of season record, right? What's going to be the minimum record that is considered good for the Patriots? Mm. Right? Remember we did that? We looked win-loss. How many? I think we got to sort of maybe look at that again and reassess how many acceptable losses the Patriots will have for you to consider it a good season. I think it is less about the end of season record and more about the seed. But we'll pick that up on the other side with your call, 617-779-0985. We got a lot to get to today, including some baseball items as well on the Red Sox and where things stand after J.D. Martinez decided to opt in yesterday, or actually not opt out. So we'll talk about that in a little bit, but we're talking about the Patriots to start today. Are you worried at all? Are you worried about where this team is, considering they lost a game on Sunday night the way they did? We'll get your call.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now an onside kick, a bouncing ball inside the 45 of Philadelphia. The Eagles are able to cover up. The Eagles are able to get to it at the 41-yard line. Hold it in the back. Brady with a play fake. A deep drop. Feels pressure. Steps out. He's hit. The ball's loose. The ball is loose, and Tom's able to rake it back in with his right arm as he goes to the ground at the 14-yard line. Brady saves the possession for the Patriots. The snap and the kneel down. And the Denver Broncos have dethroned the defending champions. There will be no repeat for the New England Patriots.
Don't you worry about a thing. Don't you worry about a thing.
It's just one loss, but are you a little bit worried? Man, talking to Jim this morning, he's got me a little bit worried.
I hate this song.
A little bit.
Speaking of good, bad movies. This is when the movie Hitch went bad, when they started playing this song. It's when they had the jet bikes and the water bikes. You know, where he took her to see the butcher at the Statue of Liberty.
And you can recall all of this.
I hate this song. So it reminded me of
because of dating montage.
Yeah, awful.
You've seen it too. You've seen Hitch too.
You haven't seen Hitch?
No.
Really?
No.
Oh. What? Have you not seen Hitch?
Look at how offended he is. Look at how Hitch offended.
He was. You were in college then, probably.
I can't
believe
like you and your wife wouldn't go to the movies and see Hitch. Like that's a chick movie.
Nope.
Hardy.
There's no Hardy.
Oh,
he's out. He's out right now. But Hitch is a good movie.
It is.
Thank you, Tom. Hey, who's that? Who's the Italian kid you have in there with you? What's his name?
What?
That Italian kid.
Oh, Scaramuzzino.
Scaramucci. Stand up in there. I'll see him. Did he see Hitch?
Loves it.
Like this kid. This kid came totally unprepared today. Sitting on a couch. Didn't help T-Bone. Had no headphones. Nothing. Not ready to go.
No, he's new. He doesn't know what he doesn't know. He doesn't know what to do.
He's in radio.
Well, now he's getting some.
He just got into radio.
He's getting some training from Tom today. He's going to learn from one of the best.
He started off with 5 overnights in a row.
Oof. That sounds like fun.
He's still asleep.
Oh, look at him now. He looks like Adam Jones, like a young Adam Jones with hair.
T-Bone will get him up to speed. I'm not worried about that. Okay, back to the 2015 Patriots, though. Here's what I'm starting to think. I'm already rattled. I, as much as I don't want to admit that I'm a little worried. Because I say, I'm not worried about this team. One bad loss, one bad matchup. How many losses do you think are allowed for this Patriots team?
One more.
What? So they can only be 14-2 to be considered successful?
I got a 14-2.
I don't. You know what? I'm starting to realize I don't care.
It's not going to matter.
As long as they have the number one seed, I don't think I care.
Right.
Does it matter what their record is?
Kansas City has 3 losses, and you're gonna play them in December. So all you got to do is beat Kansas City, and then you're there. It's so in your rearview mirror.
Doesn't it just matter how they look on the field, more than the results?
Yes.
Yeah, it's how you look. But, I mean, they didn't look great December last year. Should have been worried last December.
We kind of were worried.
You should have been. We were worried. The loss in Pittsburgh was ugly. Coming off not able to finish a Hail Mary. You get beat on a Hail Mary, then you get beat in Pittsburgh. Your season was heading down a gutter.
Okay, because to go back to that 2015 season, do you remember what we all said about that game at Denver? The result would have been different had the game been at home.
Yes.
We all thought that.
Yes.
You got to get the number one seed.
Yeah.
That's what we should consider important here.
Number one seed is critical.
The number one seed is critical. What they need.
Team Baltimore is only
okay.
One
so
game
the results do
you.
Matter.
No record. The just the number of wins doesn't matter. Just as so long as they're ahead of everybody else.
When the Ravens play the Texans,
you know what I'm saying, Jim? I don't care that they get to 14 wins. I just care that they have one more than the next team. So
this is going
to
be the latest they win their division in a long time. By the way,
yes, it is.
They're going to have to keep pushing.
Good, keep going, Buffalo. Keep going. That's good for this team.
So if am I making that clear enough? Like I don't care
Crystal.
That you get 14 wins. I just care that you get however many wins is necessary to lock up the number one seed.
You just saw a still
if
shot.
If that's 13, great. You need 13 wins.
I just saw a still shot.
If it's 12-4, then great. Be 12-4. Just get to whatever that number is.
Bills beat the Browns in Cleveland this weekend? Yes, no, maybe.
What do you mean?
Do the Bills beat the Browns in Cleveland this weekend?
Yeah. So what does that
mean? Then they beat the Dolphins in Miami.
I don't know
the
that.
Following weekend.
I don't
you
know
you
that.
Take the field in Philly. You need to win to stay in first place.
Oh, my God.
That's great.
That's crazy.
They're going to lose to Cleveland. They're going to lose to Cleveland.
I think so, too.
Yeah, Cleveland will beat them. Cleveland will beat them.
617-779-0985. Josh is in the car. Hey, Josh.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey,
how's it going, Josh?
Just doing good. Just to go for the 2015 Patriots in the AFC Championship game there. I mean, I don't think they have a deep – I don't think any team has a pass rush in the AFC right now like they did – the Broncos did with Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware coming off the edge. We didn't have Dante Scarnecchia. We did have a patchwork offensive line, but we had no running game because Steven Jackson was actually our starting running back. We have a stable of youth right now in that backfield. We have a running back we drafted in the third round that hasn't even taken the field yet. If you look at the wide receivers in 2015 compared to what we have now, they're more physical. We have a first-round pick that hasn't even taken the field yet at the wide receiver position. I think worrying right now is a little too early to start, you know, getting a little nervous when we have these pieces that haven't even taken the field yet. Isaiah Wynn may be coming back in 3 to 4 weeks. That's going to help bolster that offensive line. All that being said, that AFC Championship game came down to a missed field goal, missed extra point, and then we had to go for two. And we didn't get that to try to tie it.
You, not only did you have to go for two, you went for a fourth. That changed the way you handled your offense later in the game.
Exactly.
The defense absolutely stoned them in the second half. They didn't do jack squat.
Nope. And I think you're right. You know, it did change some things, but we're a little bit more dynamic. I think, you know, we have running backs that can play wide receiver in the slot if we really needed them to. You know, James White flexing out. We have a little bit more of a power run game. Like I said, you know, old man Steven Jackson coming out of retirement to try to help us win that AFC championship. You know, it was nice and all, but I think we're a little bit more young. Our defense is way better now than it was in 2015, in my opinion.
Yep, I think that's the biggest point there. The defense is way better now than it was then. The defense is better. The offensive line, I'm not sure, is better.
Edelman's foot went bad in that game again, too. Remember, we got him back for the Kansas City game. He looked good. He tweaked it again in that Kansas City game, and he was limping around all over that field.
All due respect, Edelman doesn't look great right now, even though he had 10 catches the other night, health-wise.
I'm not worried about him, though.
He's banged up.
Yeah. I still think it's the chest. He's working through it. He's playing through it. I think he'll be fine.
I would not use Damian Harris, though, as a point of, like, depth. I would not be bragging about the fact that Damian Harris is on the roster.
I wouldn't either.
I would not be mixing that into the argument.
Well, then you can't use N'Keal Harry either.
Yeah, I would.
Based on that.
I would hope the guy's got all the ability in the world. I'm not mentioning his name.
They don't use him.
I wouldn't be mentioning him.
I'm not mentioning his name in anything.
But don't you think they're going to need him, though, if they want to go as far as they can go?
But they might.
All of a sudden,
he might actually get playing time, so I wouldn't tell you to not bring
Will
him
he?
Up at all.
Will he, though?
He might.
I hope so.
They might use him as a tight end.
Play him against Cincinnati and those teams, you know? Like, right now, I mean, I understand maybe why they didn't want to throw him in the fire in Baltimore. Maybe he wasn't ready for that spot. I think he traveled in case somebody got sick.
I think Damian Harris is going through a red shirt year right now. That's what I think.
Yeah.
I would not use that as
Yeah, like Reese said the other day, he's on the Vereen James White plan.
Who's the other guy they picked up from?
Hardly ever played their rookie year.
Who'd they pick up from Carolina? Kept them around for a while, too.
Who?
Running back. Patriots did a couple years ago.
What year?
Shelved him. I don't know, like 4 years ago. 4 or 5 years ago. Thought they IR'd him. Just to keep him around.
I don't recall.
All right, it's on me.
You'll think of it.
I will.
Jack in Worcester. Hi, Jack.
What's up, boys?
Hey.
First, I just want to say my favorite cheesy bad movie is Double Impact with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Okay.
Oh, not a bad one. Excellent. Great. Yeah, I like that one. That's a perfect example of bad movie that isn't horrible to watch.
Let me ask you this. Is Napoleon Dynamite a bad movie?
No.
Based on how it was filmed, the lack of a budget, you could consider that like a crappy B movie that made you laugh.
I think it's a cult classic. It's a hit all the way around.
Yeah, Napoleon Dynamite's not a bad movie.
What about Dude, Where's My Car?
Yeah, that's terrible. That's not even good in a bad way.
But think about this. Who's the tall dude that was married to the woman that died?
Kutcher.
Yeah, Ashton Kutcher. Thank you. You stick like me. The Britney girl was the one that died, right? What's her name?
Brittany
Murphy.
Brittany Murphy.
Yeah,
I like you. You stay on air.
Man, you're all good. I like this caller.
Think about all, like, what was that movie? Just Married, right?
Jack, you
like,
gotta call more often, dude.
Another corny, good movie. Ashton Kutcher has been in so... What's the other one with, who's the other woman where they won the lottery, but they were divorced? The blonde girl. She's Charlie's Angels.
Diaz. Cameron Diaz.
Cameron Diaz. Ashton Kutcher's been in a lot of these bad movies, but they're pretty good movies to watch, you know? You don't turn them off.
Yeah, he's a terrible actor.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Keanu Reeves.
So my point with the Pats, I just want to get to the Ravens game. I think it's never good to lose, especially in that fashion, but to get punched in the mouth like that, I think before the bye week is probably the perfect timing. And then maybe they can get their act together. But to come back to get the Eagles and the Cowboys after the bye, you can I think you can throw the ball on them, work on the run game, the couple games after that. Those two teams are too stupid to use the same Ravens-style game plan against us. And if they try that with Watson, he's not as good as the quarterback from Baltimore to run around like that. And I don't think the coach there is smart enough either to run that game plan. So I think we got time. We can pass the ball and work on the run game. And also, I just want to touch on quick, the guys coming back. We got Wynn and Harry coming back. So does that mean we can't bring back Devlin as well? Because we could sure use him too.
Correct. That means Devlin's done. Which I think, I think we thought that anyway.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any surprise there. Harry's already back. So that's already decided. You got one more and it's going to be Wynn. We assume.
Yeah.
Not official. But if you're bringing back Wynn, that's it. That's the last guy you can bring back.
No, he practiced.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's back. His clock started.
Oh, it's already over then.
So it's not.
Sorry.
Yet. So are you thinking of Kenyon Barner?
Did I not realize he practiced?
No.
Maybe, Jim. Did they IR?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Nobody else he could have been.
Okay. Sorry. Maybe I'm
DJ
nuts.
Foster?
That's it.
No. I don't think he was Carolina, but yeah.
No? Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, and not only that, if you saw the way the Patriots' offense operated the other night, I don't think they're going to be using a fullback very often. At least not in the near future.
Yeah.
You know that it's really warm in here today,
It's freaking sweat. Nice of Stacey James to get this place cranking.
They turned that heat on today, huh?
If Stacey could come down at the Magic Snow Fairy, get this thing a little cooler.
No. It's good. Better. You can always open the door and let it cool off if you need it
to. Yeah, it's true. I could open up the big one. We got to do that one and get like a wind tunnel
in here. Always better to have it nice and warm in here.
Right.
617-779-0985 is the telephone number. We'll get back to more of your Patriots calls. This is a really oddball, off-topic NFL story, but I do want to give it a quick mention next, if you don't mind, before we get back to the Pats calls. It's about the Chargers. I was telling Jim before the show, we'll save most of it for tomorrow with Bert. We talk about some league stuff, but I do want to mention a quick Chargers item next. Stay tuned.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Well, you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Quick things. Number one, that running back was Tyler Gaffney. That's who you were thinking of.
Tyler Gaffney. Didn't play here, and I just remember something from Carolina that we stashed.
Yeah, that was him.
He had so much depth.
Here's another story. NFL League story, but it does have a Patriots tie-in, sort of. There's a report out there.
Hello.
From The Athletic.
Hello. Hello, London. Yo, the Athletic phone booths.
Reports there's the possibility of the Chargers moving to London and the topic has been broached among league personnel. Mike Florio at Pro Football Talk writes, "It's an unusual report to say the least, and it invites speculation as to the motivation of those who leaked it to the media, the notion that the Chargers could be the team to relocate to another continent." He says, "Consider this reality, which isn't mentioned in the lengthy story. Yeah. It has become a given within league circles that Jaguars owner Shad Khan has secured a de facto right of first refusal on moving to London, because the Jaguars have been the first team to get every single game over there because they are willing to do it. They have a lack of fan support where they are in Jacksonville. They've got a mediocre market, to say the least." That's being kind.
Awful market.
Florio writes, "At a minimum, the Jaguars would need to say that they aren't moving before the Chargers or anyone else would." He says, "Unless the NFL plans to place two teams there." I'd like to remind everyone that the NFL has invested in building a stadium over there, which is now built and open. So the NFL has real money invested in London, and they've been talking about moving a team there for years.
Yep.
They play games there every single season, multiple games there now, every single season. And Florio does point out some of the other specifics, like before the Chargers could play in any other city except L.A., Rams owner Stan Kroenke would have to agree to let the Chargers out of their 20-year lease that they just signed. Mm-hmm. And there's already been other reported issues that Burke Breer has covered with us, like the Rams are mad at the Chargers because the Chargers have charged as little as $100 for a personal seat license in their new stadium for Chargers season tickets. Tom Brady is going to be a free agent this coming offseason, and the Chargers have been rumored as one of the teams. You really think the guy wants to go to a team like that who's dealing with things like this going on?
No. And you know that they were going to share? They're supposed to share the stadium.
He could buy a house in Greenwich.
when you say the new stadium out there, who's it tied to? It's tied to the Rams, right?
It's their
Super
building.
Bowl's going to be there in 2 years.
Yeah.
Chargers share that with them. They're going to share that with them.
You know, so everyone who says, he wants to go to the Chargers.
No.
Does he?
No. No, he doesn't.
You really think that's an attractive option?
I don't.
Think Giselle would want to go to London to live in London?
Yes. Hello, you kids are going to go to play today.
Hello.
Don't forget your rubbers. Put your boots on. He's your sporting dick.
She's going to start talking like that?
Does she talk like that now? With a little bit of...
What you just did?
A little accent.
I don't think so.
I mean, Madonna did it, right?
Madonna did what?
Remember Detroit Madonna? All of a sudden, she's from London now. I have the accent. What a phony fraud. Madonna.
Madonna started talking with a British accent?
Yeah, Hardy.
Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You don't know that?
She married Guy Ritchie. Is that because she was living with...
Your girl Madonna from downtown in the city, Detroit. City girl.
I don't remember
Rochester. Rochester Hills,
big London,
I believe.
Big London-based voice now.
Right. Right next door to where I grew up. I believe she went to Rochester High School.
Do you have a lot of people speak Londonese there?
Very few.
Yeah.
Londonese.
Yeah.
British.
British.
You sound like you're from London.
I just thought that was worth a mention today, that the Chargers now are looking at London as an option.
They like their teeth. They don't want to go there and get their teeth all rotted and yellow. Ugh.
What is with the teeth over there? What is that?
Philip Rivers moves his 18 kids there.
I'll never forget walking in there. We went to some pub, and there's some bloat standing there, and he's got a tie on, very nicely dressed with his vest. His wool vest and his cap, and he smiles, and all his teeth are overlapping and white. And I'm like, "Look at you, Austin Powers!" You know. And he was like, "How many full table? Do you like a table of full?" It's unusual here. You pay at the bar, you order from the bar, and you go sit down. They bring you your food. We went, sat down for like, this is when we were playing in London. Went to a pub. I'm sitting here, man. I want me some bangers and mash. You know, I want some of that. And the food there is so good. The mashed potatoes and the meat are so good because everything's braised. Sitting there half hour waiting. You know, waitress? Oh, no. You just go to the bar. You order your food and you sit down. We bring it to you. Okay. Thank you, mate. Sit down. Get the food.
Mate.
It's awesome. I loved London. Loved it.
And you flew home in a hurricane.
That was a hell of a flight, boy. Hell of a landing.
617-779-0985.
Pilot comes on the air. He goes, "We got a 15-minute window, folks. Buckle up." And everybody's like, "No, I'm serious. Buckle up. We got 15 minutes to land or else we're going to Maine." They had five buses waiting for us in Maine. We came down one wheel, man, sideways. Hit, 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 boom, boom, front. Boom, down. It was a big Virgin aircraft.
By the way, a quick research here shows that, on the whole, British actually have healthier teeth than Americans.
Impossible.
If you count the number of missing teeth, Americans, on average, are missing more teeth than British. It is merely an aesthetic differentiation.
Wait, missing? We're doing it based on missing teeth now?
Overall oral hygiene, oral health later in life, and how many teeth you end up having, like, out of your head by time you reach a certain age.
That's because when Americans need a tooth removed, they go and have it removed.
Right? Now,
over there, they just let them continue to rot in their skull.
We let it rot and it changes it yellow.
Like, there's actual procedures that take place here in the States. Like, oh, you know, this tooth has gone bad. Let's do a root canal. Oh, the tooth is still not right. Let's get it removed and, you know, get a dental implant or something. Like, there's constant maintenance going on.
No, you can't mess around with an abscess or infected tooth. It has to come out whether you're British or American. They say that the reason why the myth is so prolonged.
Who's they? Who are these people?
Yeah.
Who are these people?
Who's they?
Who are they? Where are you pulling this research out of your ass from?
This is I invented all of it.
They. Who's they?
This is a study on WebMD that cites. All right, well, you are using Mike Myers in the Austin Powers movie.
Yes, I am.
As your evidence.
Yeah.
I'm using evidence cited in this article, and it wasn't their research. It was another. I'll find out who it was.
You're telling me that our long
population differences
are wrong?
Speaking of London and bad teeth, a boy, another bad movie that was good.
If you count everyone down south, think about it. In the United States, you start factoring them in.
West Virginia.
Sugar consumption in the U.S., smoking habits up until a few years ago.
Well, everyone smokes in London.
Again, this is the main difference. They're not obsessed with straight teeth. So we look at crooked teeth and we say, oh, that's an unhealthy mouth. No,
it
has nothing to do with being unhealthy. In the U.S., there's a lot more straighter teeth because Americans will spend more on braces and they're pay more attention to the aesthetics of it. But the overall health, it's actually about the same. And Britons actually have a little bit healthier teeth by a little bit.
Okay.
There you go. Well, you
they say so.
Thanks, Lordy.
You're welcome.
617-779-0985.
And we'll also take your Con Air comments.
Yeah, too. Absolutely.
Our listeners are great right out of the gate.
Hey, at 11:50 today, we're giving away another pair of Journey tickets. Nice. You want to be here for that? Don't go anywhere.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We'll talk some Sox coming up at the top of the hour. The news last night, J.D. Martinez staying put with the Red Sox. What happens now?
See Mookie?
What are the domino effects? Could that be it? We'll get to that coming up. 617-779-0985. John is in Maryland. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey,
John.
Pretty tame environment compared to Buffalo. So I thought that Baltimore was going to be comparable to Buffalo. Wasn't even close.
Of course.
Yeah. In terms of Philadelphia, we got to go in there.
You guys disagree,
yeah.
John. He thinks it was...
I don't know. That's as good a football environment you could get right there.
Yeah, well, when I was in Buffalo a few years ago, it was right when I think Brady got back from the suspension. It was... I mean, I held my kids close to me.
It's different people. They're disgusting human beings and animals in Buffalo.
Baltimore
is a lot more football class.
John,
they
won't
punch you in your face.
As far as visit, as far as the noise goes, we have the highlight of when the penalty happened on the first drive that kept the drive alive on the Shalik Calhoun
offside.
Neutral zone infraction.
Yeah.
And the crowd goes nuts on that penalty.
Yeah.
I mean, louder than anything the Patriots heard in Buffalo this year.
Because they knew it. Seven.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, they got to go and stop the run on the road in a hostile environment in Philly. This is a huge game. They got to go in on the road, punch them in the face, and, you know, quiet the crowd down early, get up, and stop the run. That's what I'm worried about. I'm not so much, when I saw, what I saw from the offense, they threw at will, you know, with this spread offense, hurry up. So I was, you know, I was impressed with that. But this inability to stop the run, and you know, Girardi made a good point. He says, Lamar Jackson doesn't get enough credit about hiding that ball. So the defenders were, like, looking at Jackson and looking, and people were running past them, not even knowing where the ball was.
Yeah, I gave him a lot of credit. There, I could count at least four or five times where I had no clue where the ball was. And that usually doesn't happen. He's good. You know, just long, extended fake through and then slips it down. Because he's not big. It's another thing. He's not big and square to where you see it. Okay, there it is on his outside. He stomachs it perfectly, like right between the eight. Different cat.
Scott's in Weymouth. Scott, go ahead.
What's up? We're on speaker. All right. Segue to hockey real quick.
Buddy.
Okay? All right. Here we go. Am I the only one? Bruins look great, clearly, right? 10-1, 11-1. They look awesome. Am I the only one, though? And I'll say it because I'm not in Boston sports media. Am I the only one to say I hate Brad Marchand? Did you see him double minor for sparing? Sparing? Do you know what sparing is? For all you guys who don't know hockey out there, that means you take your stick, you turn. If you're a lefty, you turn the stick over and you hit the guy in the gut. It is a double minor. He ought to be suspended. And I can't stand him. I love good physical play. I love good. That's why I love hockey. That's why I played hockey. But don't play dirty. He's an embarrassment to the city of Boston and those who reside here. And take pride in this city. I would trade Marchand tomorrow. I'd rather lose than have him on my team.
I'd say you're in a minority there.
Yeah, I'd say most people love him.
I think most people love him, but I think most people would agree that it's just a dumb, stupid play.
And every team in the league, if you said you wanted to trade Brad Marchand, your phone would be ringing off the hook.
Yeah.
Every team would take him.
Right.
So everybody's wrong.
Does the stuff he does and the way he plays bug you? Sure.
Yeah.
But damn it, you want him on your team.
Doesn't mean you can't call him out for things he
right.
does.
No, there's times when he does stuff and it's cost, you know, the Bruins in the past, you know, costly penalties or, you know, but really poorly timed penalties that he's taken. But he's transformed from just, you know, a pest and a good hockey player into an elite goal scorer in the league.
Yeah.
And part is, you know, we've talked about this with a number of players over a number of different sports. The other stuff you either don't like or, you know, in the case of the last caller, you absolutely despise that part of his game. But that's part of who he is. That's part of what, you know, what he's about. And it's difficult to separate the two to, you know, say, you know, stop behaving that way in these instances, but do all the other things that you do. Just stop doing that other stuff. Well, that's part of who he is. I'm more than willing to accept all that stuff. And yeah, as somebody as a fan of this team, he's the ultimate love him on your team, despise him anywhere else. But every other team in the league would take him in a second, in a heartbeat. He's that good.
Let's go to Tom in the car. Hey, Tom.
Oh, that's awesome. Hey, thanks, guys. Thank you for taking my call. Like, I've been listening to the show for years now. I listen to everything on Sports Hub all day. So I was calling about the Patriots and the British. Oh, wow. The time delay. I can hear it on.
The British people.
Drop that.
What'd he say?
I think he said a bad word.
I don't know. He had his radio up too loud.
Yeah. Call back.
Not today.
I want his British point.
Dan's in Brighton. Hey, Dan.
We could do a thing on. We actually do right. bad.
I'm
movies.
Calling because I wanted to get your take and see if you think Belichick might trade up next year's draft and maybe go after a guy like, say, Tua or Jalen Hurts. Because I don't think Tom Brady is going to stick around for more than maybe two more years, and I don't believe in Stidham.
What's the name of that comedian?
Which one?
From Everybody Loves Raymond, Brad Garrett.
I'd like to make. Getting Zuckerts.
Can we do that another day? Not today. Let's talk about the draft.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the draft.
I'd love Zuckerts.
Jalen Hurts. Or Tua is what he said.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he said Zuckerts.
No, Jalen Hurts.
Jeff in Providence. Hi, Jeff.
No. The Oklahoma quarterback? No, thank you.
Hey, what's up, Zoe?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, so my concern is around the coaching right now. That first drive where Lamar Jackson walked into the end zone, I saw two freaks in Van Hoy and Jamie Collins look way out of place on the edge, unable to contain a mobile quarterback. Steve Belichick claims to take a lot of the reins over from Bill that game. And, you know, when Bill had his press conference, the first thing he said was, we need to coach better. He made adjustments in the second half. It seemed to work out okay. But I'm worried and wondering what you guys think about that. Is there a gap in the coaching on the defensive end in that first half?
No, I mean, they had – and here's the thing. The offense came out, went three and out quick in shotgun, which gave you even less time to make adjustments if you're the defense. Defense, you get gouged. You're right down the field. You give up the touchdown. You had them held for three. Next thing you know, you're on the sideline. You're barely getting water. You turn around. It's third and 10. Ball goes out of bounds. We're back out there. Oh, crap. You really didn't have a chance to make any adjustments. The adjustments came in the second quarter when they took a third defensive lineman out and only went with two. And they widened the ends out. And they brought an extra guy in the front. They settled their ass down. They adjusted. They adjust every series. All four defensive coaches meet right in front of the bench with Bill. And they've been doing this since week one. So for 8 weeks, we give him credit for everybody being on the same page. Because somebody breaks containment, doesn't fall on Steve Belichick. Steve is responsible for the secondary and the safeties. But Lima is a front guy. Mayo is a front guy. They sold out on the interior. They're thinking they were going to run it. That kid's got 4.2 sub speed. He got outside. They got him. You can't stop him down there. You had him. Don't jump off sides. We won't be talking about breaking containment. Blame that on coaching. Blame it on stupidity of jumping off sides. You got fooled by something that you do to people. Fake head bob. They got you. You got your own taste of your own medicine.
All right.
I'm not worried about defensive coaching.
Okay. I think there's.
I think ultimately it goes through Bill. Bill said, "Yeah,
I was
going to
say."
Better.
I think there's
and
an interesting conversation though about the credit though in terms of the defense because. On that same day, you know, there's all this credit being thrown at Steve Belichick for the way the defense has been called this year. Like, Steve Belichick, it's still Bill's defense.
It's still Bill's call. It's
still Bill. So.
What do you think this is? Bill has on his headset. He's listening to the calls. Okay, what are we doing? We like that? Yeah, go ahead. Call that. Yeah. Here's our personnel. Mayo, send this. Go. Yeah.
I still say the credit and the blame goes to Bill on defense.
Because in between drives, do you see Bill?
Whatever's going on.
Do you see Bill
defense?
Doing this, taking off his headset? Getting his paper out and going and huddling with the offense and going over pictures? No. He does it with the defense.
We wanted to give credit to Brian Flores last year for the defense getting more and more aggressive like it did without Matt Patricia here, and the players just wouldn't go there. When the guys who covered the team would talk to the players would just continue to give credit to Bill and not Brian Flores. So the guys who are in there every day say, no, it's still Bill's defense. So, okay. Bill it is. Bill gets the credit. Bill gets the blame. Going to be pretty hard to step out from that shadow.
Yeah.
It just is, no matter who you are, whether you're his son or not, whether you're a great linebacker, former linebacker in Gerard Mayo or not, it's just going to be hard to do, no matter who you are.
It's hot in here.
It's nice in here.
It's really nice. Hot in here.
We'll get to the headlines. 90 seconds, no commercials. Look, Jim's got his jacket on. It can't be that hot in here.
It's cool over here. You guys are under the vent.
I know. It's nice. It's toasty.
Open the doors.
We'll get to the headlines. 90 seconds, no commercials. What happens now? Now that J.D. Martinez has decided to stay with the Red Sox, that is coming up next.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.